So we've been talking about being bored at work, but what if you suddenly find yourself out of work? It's not pleasant to think about, and there are a few things, there are a few things you can do before you're escorted out of the office that will save you stress in the long run. The first order of business, don't panic. And to give us some more tips is financial expert Drew Tignanelli. He is a CPA and president of the Financial Consulate in Maryland. He also hosts a financial advice radio show on WCBM Radio in Baltimore called Money, Riches, and Wealth. Hi, Drew. Welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So you're standing in the office, and you've just been informed you're being let go. What's the first thing you should do?
Well, the first thing to do is not panic, like you said earlier. Life throws these curveballs at you. And when they do, we need to look at them as opportunities and not allow the fear. You know, as Roosevelt said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Mm. And that's about the best thing you can say for that type of scenario, because you talk about a fear-mongering situation, that certainly could do it.
Should you tell your boss what for and storm out the door?
You know, if you can get information from an employer, it would be, always be good, because you never know. You may have a legal situation, but I wouldn't count on it, but you could always. If anybody renders information to you, you always should listen.
And listeners, we're going to open up the phones and a comments page on this. It's about really that moment of actually being laid off. And there are some tips that Drew has that we'll get into that he wrote up in the Wall Street Journal recently, what to do, what not to do if you are right in that moment where you are being informed that your job is being eliminated. But you can call us up and talk about how that went for you and share your advice at 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729. And yes, that's our temporary phone number until we get the old one back with the WNYC in it. But in the meantime, 646-778-3729 or 646-SPUDRAY. Drew, you did offer some advice in a Wall Street Journal piece, and let me go down the list a little bit. One is get your personal files. So you mean before you go get your coffee cup and the picture of your kids, you should go to your computer?
Well, you should go to your computer, go to your desk drawers and so forth, because most of us do keep personal things around the office. And it's very important that you get those as quickly, or at least a request of your employer if they're standing there and telling you, you know, time to go. You want to make sure you get your personal stuff.
And what about the computer files? Get your personal files. Are there things that you want to just get out of your desktop, even though you don't own the desktop?
Well, you know, like I say, you know, it's not unusual for somebody to be keeping. We actually had a situation like this where somebody was keeping personal photos on their computer that were very important to them.
Right.
And, you know, they requested to do that. And, you know, so first thing you probably want to do is not try to keep too many personal things around the office if you ever feel that that type of scenario is something that could happen in the future. So getting your personal stuff is always very important.
And just to be clear, you didn't write this Wall Street Journal article that I referred to, but you're heavily quoted in it. Another one before we go to some calls and comments is don't retreat. So this has to do with negotiating terms of your severance?
Yeah, you know, now every one of our listeners, you know, I do a radio show also, Brian, and so I understand that you got a vast different amount of listeners. So some listeners have a contract. All right. So being laid off is going to be very different than the employee who doesn't have a contract. Some listeners may be in a state where it's an at-will employment situation. Some employees might live in a state where there's some protections before you can be laid off. So there's a vast difference between each different listener, and you have to look at each scenario.
Well,
so don't retreat is definitely don't shy away and just think that this is a horrible thing. Think out what is happening. Where do I stand? Do I have a contract? Don't I have a contract? Should I get a lawyer? You know, et cetera. There's all kinds of, you know, it's a complex situation. Let's put it that way.
George in Queens, did you retreat?
No, actually I didn't. I was I was very professional through the whole thing, kept my calm, and really knew that I could negotiate. I came to them and I said, hey, look, I've got a lot of strong contacts throughout this company, and, you know, if you want me to leave happy and not really make a big deal, you know, let's talk, let's negotiate for something.
And what clout do you have to negotiate? Well, you said you know you have a lot of contacts through the company, but what were you offering / threatening as they were laying you off? What leverage did you actually have?
Well, just kind of leaving quietly. I mean, I'm sure they didn't want me to send emails to everybody in the company and tell them what a bad experience this was. You know, and I think that worked to my advantage, and they also appreciated me.
Drew, want to comment on that?
I thought that was wise. Yeah, I thought he did a great job. And, you know, he said the key thing at the very beginning, and here's what he said. He said, I kept my cool, and he thought it out, and he said, okay, well, let's take this out, and let's make sure that they understand that I'm not going to take this as an overt negative, but they don't want it to be a negative to their other employees that are staying behind.
So, George, how much more did you get in your severance package, or by percent, if you want to put it that way?
Well, I got a couple of weeks, and I actually got them to pay for tuition reimbursement that they had offered me that
wow.
I just finished the class, and they didn't dispute unemployment. So,
very good. Okay, George, thanks for the tips. Stephen Manhattan is a lawyer and wants to weigh in on this from a legal perspective. Is that right, Steve?
That's exactly right. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
This is a great – I mean, I was fired myself after – gosh, 30 years never having been fired. So
As an attorney, you were fired from a law firm?
From a corporation.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is that what I advise my clients, generally you know that your job situation is in peril. You either get a feeling, you might get a warning from your boss, or whatever it is. At that moment, you take a big deep breath, and you start recording everything you possibly can as things transpire. Maybe you won't get fired, but maybe you will. But the point is, if you do get fired, you'll have a written record of what transpired over that time. Another thing to be very, what I tell clients is, should you ever read your employment manual? And most of them never did. They just take the job,
right.
and that's it. Now, an employment manual will generally provide for a termination procedure. There are warnings that they have to go through. Sometimes they're written, sometimes they're oral. And if you get a warning, make sure that your boss puts down point by point exactly what the risk situation is.
Right. Well, that's if you're getting fired. If you're laid off because of cost, then it's a different situation,
yes,
right?
Yes, and the negotiating strategy if you're getting laid off is that, generally speaking, even if you're fired for what your boss might see as cause, people don't like to fire other people. They just don't. Most people are fairly decent, and it's a very unpleasant situation. Use that guilt. Use that discomfort. As your guest says, be calm, take a walk around the block, take a deep breath, and then start to think about what you want to make your life a little easier.
Right, because there are a few dark knights out there that actually like to fire people, but not many.
Not many, no, not many at all.
Steve, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Drew, any other reaction to Steve?
Well, Steve, you know, I think Steve took his situation. It sounds like he turned it into an opportunity for himself as a lawyer to learn this field and help other people as they've come into a similar situation. So it's a great example of what I talk about. Consider it an opportunity.
We're talking about that moment when you are told you are being laid off with Drew Tignanelli, a CPA and president of the Financial Consulate, as it's called in Maryland, host of a financial advice radio show on WCBM Baltimore, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and heavily quoted in a recent Wall Street Journal article on this. We've gone through some of the tips. Another one is apply for unemployment, obviously. Call in the professionals. People need financial advice, but also good to see a psychologist if it'll help. Get referenced. If you're laid off from a company, make sure you get your references from them. You mean like written references in advance or promises that they will be good references if future potential employers call them up?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what George was talking about. Okay, so he sat down, thought out his situation, went back and talked to him. He said, look, really, I'm just not saying George did this, but maybe he could have done this and said, look, really what I'd like is just good references from you. I just want you to be able to say that, you know, I was a good employee and that it was just an overall company decision that my job was terminated. Again, it depends on whether you're fired or laid off. Mm. There's a big difference between the two.
One for cause and one for cost.
One for cause and one for cost. And there's also legal parameters, like what was the lawyer Steve was saying. There's a difference between how they can fire you, and there's also a difference as to how they can lay off people. And when they lay off people, you know, they got to be careful what your race is, what your gender is, what your age is. And, you know, there's all kinds of rules, and you have to keep them all in mind.
And sometimes you probably get told that you're being laid off, when really they just wanted to fire you.
That can happen, but they have to be very careful because they, in order to lay off, there has to be a general economic business reason, which includes many people, not just you. It could just include mm-hmm. you if it's a small enough company and yeah. you're the only one that does that one thing.
David in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi. I'm calling to say that I've been laid off three major companies, three times. And
you've hit the trifecta. Congratulations.
And it gets better as it goes along. I give everybody some, you know, hope. And
it gets better as it goes along?
Yeah, well, the first time I was
To be an expert at it.
Yeah, the first time I was in shock. And I found other people who went through it the first time, same thing, complete shock. I was lucky the company, it was early on in the layoff cycle, and the company gave us maximum stuff. I mean, you can't expect what we got today.
Like what?
Well, gee, I got something like 6 months' pay and a month's severance, and I was given outplacement for like 6, 7, 8 months,
mm-hmm.
longer if I wanted to hang in there. And so it wasn't so, and it really was for a relatively short time of the company. Some people actually got a year, and some people got 2 years.
Mm, wow. Yes.
Yeah, one of my friends was 2.5 years from retirement, and
oh.
the joke was, I can sell peanuts for 6 months if I need to get my retirement. Well, the thing is, the second time, I tell you, it was like a shock to my solar plexus, went down my arms to my first knuckle. It was amazing when the boss told me. And because I knew there was going to be a layoff in 3 days. I didn't know who. And what they did was they felt so guilty or so bad, they laid off by salary. However, those people with six-figure salaries were not touched. So they laid off a lot of people. I looked at my salary and realized I was right in line.
So, yeah, first of all, that feeling you had all the way down to your knuckles?
Yeah, it went from solar plexus down to my first knuckle.
Is that the thumb or the pinky?
Not the regular pinky, the four fingers.
Okay. But some of those things, and Drew, maybe you want to weigh in on this, sound a little questionable. First of all, you know, it sounds like this company was being really nice with the extra severance and stuff and outplacement. But then when you hear about laying somebody off who's close to retirement, well, that's infuriating. And then when you hear about laying off by salary, you know, you start to wonder, too, are they just trying to replace experienced people with inexperienced people because they're cheaper?
Well, you can't. It isn't easy to just lay off based on salary. There has to be a greater business purpose, or else you could run easily amok of most state employment laws.
David, thank you for your call. But what?
I had a client, Brian, that was 2 years away from retirement, a senior executive with a bank that was taken over by a larger bank, and literally they laid him off 1.5 years from retirement and cut his retirement pay by close to 40%, and there was nothing that he could do about it, literally nothing.
Ouch. You know, we just had a situation in New York State where the Senate Majority Leader retired after he lost his majority leader position. He was still a state senator, Joe Bruno, but apparently he calculated that he was going to make more from his state pension than continuing to work because he lost this leadership position, and he gets his pension based on the highest earning years, right? So his highest earning years were now behind him. So if he retires, he gets more money than if he continues to work. That's a sweet deal, huh?
One of the beauties of being a politician is that when you're laid off, you actually come out better financially ahead.
Donald in Manhattan, you're on. Worked for Rudy Giuliani, too. Donald in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Yes, good morning. I'm glad you mentioned Mr. Bruno, because what I have to say has something to do with him. If I went to my boss and asked for a raise every single year, what do you think my boss would say?
He'd say, that's reasonable because there's inflation every single year.
Well, there's an organization that does get a raise every year, and I think it's probably the only organization in the universe.
What is that, Donald?
It's called New York City Landlords.
Oh, you're talking about rent stabilization.
I'm talking about landlords and the money they get every single year.
Okay. But you know what? I think that's for another show. So we're going to leave that there. See, Drew, you do radio. You know.
I know what you're coming from. You did a great job on that.
So anyway, but it is it's the double-edged sword. People complain. Landlords complain about rent stabilization in New York because the government gets to limit the amount that they can charge in most years. But on the other hand, it's about the only place, as the caller says, where the government actually takes into account the cost of inflation and makes sure the landlords get some kind of a raise. So it works both ways.
Well, they should be real glad that the government doesn't pull rate stabilization, or they'll get a real raise next year.
Well, well, that's, you know what? That's another show, and it's a thicket.
That's
and Drew
show.
Tignanelli, CPA, and host of a financial advice radio show on WCBM Baltimore. Thanks a lot for coming on with us. Hope you keep your job.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and next we will talk about something you definitely do not want to happen to you at work. It is called karoshi. Stay with us.